You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody joining us today for a new edition of our seminar series, Insights on Inequalities, which we run in collaboration with the Friedrich Ebert Foundation Geneva office. My name is Katja Huya. I'm research coordinator in the Transformative Social Policy Program at UNRIST. UNRIST is an independent research institute within the UN with a mandate to conduct research on contemporary social development challenges in view of improving policies and practice. And we are particularly interested in promoting new issues and alternative viewpoints in the UN community and to leverage research from the Global South. Our distinguished speaker today is Professor Donatella Della Porta, who will present on the topic of bringing capitalism back into social movement studies, an agenda for research and action. I think this topic is really very timely in view of the many protests we are seeing even today from Hong Kong to Cuba to South Africa. So we expect a very exciting presentation. Donatella has an impressive career, which I can only summarize in a few words. She is professor of political science, dean of the Faculty of Political and Social Sciences, and director of the PhD program in political science and sociology at the Scuola Normale Superiore in Florence, Italy. She also leads the Center on Social Movement Studies, which is called COSMOS. Among the main topics of her research are social movements, political violence, terrorism, corruption, police, and protest police. In 2011, she was the recipient of the Matei Dongan Prize for Distinguished Achievements in the Field of Political Sociology. Donatella Della Porta is also honorary doctor of the Universities of Lausanne, Bucharest, Göteborg, Jyväskylä, and the University of Peloponnese. She has an impressive list of publications, is author or editor of 90 books, 150 journal articles, and 150 contributions in edited volumes. Before I give the floor to Donatella, please allow me to provide you with some background on the purpose and context of this series. The seminar series picks up the conversation from UNRIST's international conference and research project, Overcoming Inequalities in a Fractured World, between elite power and social mobilization. With this inquiry, we want to specifically focus on inequality, not only as it affects the poorest 40%, the so-called bottom of the pyramid, but also in relation to elite power and various forms of social mobilization pushing back against it, which is the topic of today's presentation. In our endeavor to provide new insights on inequality, we are proud to collaborate with a wide range of actors, UN partners, civil society activists, and renowned scholars such as Professor Della Porta.
Thank you, Katja, and thank you, Hayo. And I'm especially an academic, so I'm not sure I can give top-down indications about actions, but I hope that in the debate we can discuss also the more practical outcomes of my own thinking and research as a sociologist and political scientist. So I wanted to address the issues of inequalities from the perspective of how social movements and social movement studies have reintroduced the issues of capitalism, which also means the issues of class, and the issues of resistance to inequalities, reflections on justice, and so on, in a field that had been considered for a long time as focusing especially on new forms of movements, more concerned with civil than with social rights, and more focusing on issues of freedom and rather than issues of justice. This was a puzzle at a certain point, even for us scholars in social movements, because we realized how important transformations in capitalism are, in the impact on the ways in which people protest, in the same framing of rights, how important these issues have been, since Hayo mentioned also the history of the Eberstiftung, how important struggles for citizenship, which means civic, political, and social rights, have been in the development of social democracy, of trade unions, and so on. So attempt to bring capitalism back in social movement studies has been especially started to be perceived as very relevant when this struggle on social inequalities, against social inequalities, developed not only in the global south, but also started to be central also in the northern side of the globe. So issues of inequalities in the research on civil society organizations, non-governmental organizations, and social movements have re-entered the debate, especially through some empirical development. And in this presentation, I'm building upon research that I've been doing and the Center on Social Movement Studies is doing on different waves of protest that since the global justice movements about 20 years ago have strongly focused on issues of inequalities. And my claim is that one of the reasons why there has been this refocusing on of attentions on inequalities have been transformation in capitalism that brought to growing inequalities also in the northern areas of the globe, and that's made especially issues of inequalities particularly outrageous because of the huge differences between the 1% and the 99%, a movement put it about 10 years ago. So I'm going to build upon research I've done on the global justice movements, but also on the anti-austerity protests. And I will be glad to discuss also the 2019 wave of protests in countries like Lebanon or Chile or Hong Kong that have, that have in fact brought about a concern with issues of inequalities. This wave of protest in 2019 that has been sort of put off by the development of the pandemics. But I want to start with the development in the pandemics. And if you can go to the next slide in the presentation. What we have seen, and we have been sort of surprised by, has been that the pandemic has not stopped the type of protest that we have been developing in the last 20 years. But it has rather seen a lot of protest events focusing on central issues like health inequalities. And health inequalities became a master frame for reading the pandemics. And a lot of protests we have seen have been moved by the acknowledgement, the concern with the ways in which the pandemic had increased and made more outrageous the killing effects of inequalities. So starting from the pandemic 2000 COVID-19, what we have seen has been a multiplication of protests on issues of health, on issues of social rights, on issues on of labor rights. And I want to start from this reflecting on what is the pandemic COVID-19, a case of a sociologist, in order to point especially at the importance of the ways in which capitalism has developed in the spreading of the disease, but also in the spreading of protest against inequalities. So what is the pandemic COVID-19 a case of? Of course, it's presented as a unique event in history. But if we look at past events, we see also similarities with what have been defined as critical junctures. So moment of abrupt and radical changes, and especially critical junctures of an emergency type. So in the past, we have seen, we have lived through moment of very harsh decline of rights for the citizens, of decline of freedom of movements, of increasing inequalities and emergencies that have been related, for instance, with war or with other more or less natural catastrophe, or with other pandemics. Suffice to remember a pandemic that is not over, which is the one related with AIDS. So it is a unique phenomenon, but it could also be reflected upon in terms of which type of effects these critical junctures, abrupt and radical changes, of an emergency type have produced in the environment. In particular, COVID-19 is a case of an health emergency type that is related with an airborne disease that has affected the everyday life of the individuals. And we know, I've seen that there are people connected from all over the world. And what we know is that the situations in which this happened is a situation that is characterized by what I have called late neoliberalism. So it is a situation in which there has been a capitalist shift that started in some countries already in the 80s and then spread all over late in the next decades, a development in which capitalism that has been always shifting between more moderate forms, including social protections, and more harsh, radical forms, more focusing on free market, has gone in the directions of less social protections, less and less trust in the capacity of the political and the states to intervene against inequalities, and instead increasing reliance on policies like deregulations, privatization, liberalizations that have drastically reduced the capacity of the states to do things it's the states could do quite well in the past, like intervening to ensure the citizens at least a modicum degree of social rights. Neoliberalism in its peak had produced reactions like the global justice movements. Today is the anniversary. In these days, there is the 20 anniversaries of the Genoa Social Forum, which is one of the first events of a wave of protest that started in the South, started in Porto Alegre at one of the most important symbolic events, and that then spread in those years criticizing, stigmatizing, especially the effect of a certain type of globalization, of globalizations of capitalism, was pointed at, the effect in terms of increasing inequalities between states and within states as well. I put late in the definitions, sort of resonating with reflections on late capitalism development, because my impression is that while the first wave of protest against neoliberal globalizations 20 years ago were addressing neoliberalism in its flourishing years, protests later on, like the one we are looking at in the pandemics, but also the anti-austerity forms of protest about 10 years ago, so-called 2011 wave of protest, including acampadas in Spain, in Greece, or in the United States. Then there, what was addressed was a neoliberalism that was already in crisis. So it was the moment in which also these forms of capitalism, this return to trust, blind trust in the market, this type of capitalist development that seems to be a new Karl Polanyi's type of great transformations, had clearly entered a deep crisis. So not by chance, the years 2010s were defined as years of great recession, reminding the first great recession between the First and the Second World War. So it was a neoliberalism in crisis. It was a sort of late neoliberalism. But as a sociologist, like Colin Crouch has pointed at, it is not a neoliberalism that is been dying of its crisis, but rather what we saw was what Colin Crouch called the strange non-death of neoliberalism. Neoliberalism has been defined as a sort of ideology characterized by the dominance of the market over the social, by a reversal of norms of general justice and principle of intervention in political intervention on the problems that the market creates, in what Polanyi's called a moral type of capitalism. So a capitalism disjunct by a conceptions of a social pact. It has been developed as forms of dispossession of rights. Saskia Sassen in her work talked of a stripping off of those citizens' rights that had ensured a modicum of well-being. Still citing Polanyi, neoliberalism as an ideology has been pointed as a crusading passion, blind support for the market, with an illusion of a separation of the state and the market. And I talk about an illusion because in reality, neoliberalism needed sort of interventions by the states. Interventions, first of all, to take off a lot of those type of regulations that had protected the social from the market. What can we expect in terms of social movements reacting to this type of trends? And so what does it mean bringing back the reflections on inequalities as related to capitalism development when thinking about resistance to it. In social movement studies, usually the expectations for movements that developed in moment of crisis, like the one in 2011, like the one triggered by the pandemic, is that movements tend to be weak, that they tend to mobilize those who are directly affected by the crisis, but reducing at the same time the political opportunities for changes and the available resources for existing social movement organizations. If we take the pandemic as an example, what we see is that this specific crisis has been characterized on the one hand by state of exceptions, so by conditions that in order to reduce the potential for the spreading of the virus have also reduced the freedoms for the citizens, especially in terms of possibility to express their grievances. And this has been particularly evident in the Global South, with the pandemic crisis being used by several authoritarian regimes to suspend citizens' rights and through increase the potential for repression. But we have also seen that for the social movement organizations active in the years 2020-2021, the pandemic has also increased a lot the challenges, so the requests for aid. If we think about social movement organizations engaged in forms of mutual help, the pandemic has made for many more, has increased, let's say, constituencies. But at the same time, we have seen that this very moment of crisis are also a moment in which internal fragmentation, diversifications between the different and within the different social groups has been increasing. So if we think in terms of crisis, we expect movement to be weakened and to be expressed, especially by short type of that are particularly oriented to immediate and relevant needs. There is another hypothesis which is a bit related with this one, Polanyi-like counter movements. So what Polanyi suggested is that in the moments in which the pendulum goes in the directions of free market, those who are affected by these changes, by this violation of the moral economy, tend to protest through backwards type of social movements. So what we expect is, Polanyi says, counter movements that will be oriented towards re-establishing previous conditions. All this, to a certain extent, can explain some of the characteristics of the movement that we have been developing in the waves that I've mentioned. But I think this is only part of the story and only one side of the coin. Because we have not seen just weak movements, and we have not just seen movements that look backward. But during the pandemics, as you during the great recessions of 10 years ago, we have seen also what the school Let's call it neo-Marxist school of Wallerstein, Arrighi, Beverly Silvers, and other scholars, have called anti-systemic movements. And in their assumptions, the harder the crisis, the harder has been the resistance to the crisis. Beverly Silver, in studying the development of capitalism, also recently in the Global South, stressed the fact that, as she said, where capitalism goes, conflicts follow. So that's anti-systemic movements are almost automatically produced by the development of harsh challenges. So that people living in a moment of crisis tend to react not only looking backward, but also imagining a new wave of overcoming the type of disruption in the everyday life. And in fact, when looking at the anti-austerity protest, but also looking recently at the various protests during the pandemics, what we saw were also a lot of innovative ideas. So this moment of crisis have not just been moments in which people irrationally looked at the past as the only place in which to find grounds for resistance, but they also were pushed towards inventing new worlds. So the financial crisis of the last decades, as well as the pandemic crisis of nowadays, is also meant moments in which discursive opportunities for changes emerged. So moments in which the very message coming from the crisis was that nothing could work according to the old rules, because the old rules have been proved unable to human development. And what we have seen in the pandemics have been, in fact, a lot of different forms of mobilization. So from the one hand, innovative forms of protest, from online protest to hybrid protest, also in the street, and a new wave of strikes that often moved from grassroots type of mobilization on immediate needs into more politicized and organized forms. But we also saw developments and innovative one into other perspectives, which I think are relevant when thinking about potential development in action. One is knowledge production. So the pandemic has not been a moment in which activists were just sitting at home and waiting for things to change, but they were populated by a lot of initiatives in which counter-information was produced, for instance, on the ways in which the pandemic itself was hitting not every class equally, but especially had a quite a sort of epidemic development that was very much skewed towards the poor, the ethnic minorities, women's, young people, and so on. What we find, and I think we really have to study this in the future, is a lot of thinking, a lot of interactions between different groups, trying to find alternative ways. So it has not been just looking at the past, but also trying to construct ideas about the future. And also another type of development that we saw in research on the recent movements have been towards forms of direct social actions, they've been called, or mutual help, that have been, by the way, also very relevant in the development of the labor movement in the past, and that have been revisited during the financial crisis, especially in the countries that have been mostly hit by the crisis, but also during the pandemic. So the idea of acquiring rights by acts of citizens' participation. This has meant building upon the traditions of the cooperatives, the traditions of developing alternative conceptions of in practices related to health and illnesses, but also a lot of cross-movements interactions based on ideas of solidarities. So while in the past social movements had tended to develop apart from each other, what we saw in recent times has been also a capacity for interactions between different movements. Take the climate justice movement interacting with movements more concerned with social issues. And these type of developments were often pushed from the need, pushed from the necessity to address crisis. But then they often developed in something else and something more than just self-help, because they developed in attempt to put the different fragments of the mosaic into a common frame. And in this way also to overcome divisions. The pandemic has been a moment in which divisions emerged, so I don't want to deny the type of fragmentation that has happened also at the social level. But in the social movements, what we saw was also the capacity to mobilize on issues that became relevant as a sort of common master frames. Take the Black Lives Matter protest that spread very quickly and very broadly in the midst of the pandemic. And they were addressing any issues that the pandemic has been highlighting. The intersectional nature of inequalities and actions of racism against Afro-American peoples have been protested all over the world, but not just as solidarity with the people in the United States, but also with a sort of adaptation of the reflections within each country. So even in countries like my own, Italy, or like your own in Germany, countries in which issues of colonialism and racism internally had been removed to a larger extent have been thematized during the Black Lives Matter. But also in the Black Lives Matters, we saw the mobilizations very strongly of women and groups active on gender rights that were already mobilized against the backlash, right-wing backlash that in Italy was particularly strong with Salvini's Lega in power. But what I also wanted to point at, and then maybe I shut up and I leave some time for the discussion, is the fact that the pandemics and also the previous crisis had a sort of a paradoxical effect, because at the same time they meant people were more and more focusing on their own sufferance, on their own conditions. They were in the pandemics very often restricted in local spaces. But at the same time, the glance that they pushed for was a global one. So what we have seen is that even if people were constrained in the movements and to a certain extent also pushed towards selfish type of reactions, in the reality, there was also a global vision. The pandemic is a global challenge. And I think that the spreading, for instance, of the Black Lives Matter movements more or less exactly a year ago has been also related with the fact that during the pandemic, Ronald Trump, and Trump's United States had represented the evil way to address the crisis through selfishness and lack of solidarity. So I think that what developed was also a potential for connecting social movements active in different parts of the world. Some research on social movements has talked on multitudes as a sort of aggregations of different social and political groups. In the anti-austerity protest, what we have seen has been a broad coalition of the affected. Not by chance, the frames for social movements became oriented to representations of the 99%, so sort of not movements of minorities, but movements of big majorities. And what we see now is also the reflections on how the visibility of the killing effects of intersectional inequalities may be resisted through the alliances of different groups active in different countries. Last word, I think that what is interesting here is also another sort of paradox, the fact that many of these groups are very grassroots and very locally engaged, very rooted in the local areas. But at the same time, that there is a big aspirations on the thinking globally. It has been also a slogan in the past. So this is what I basically wanted to say. Sorry for the interruptions with the dog and but it is also a pandemic challenge of our time.
Thank you very much, Donatella, for this very inspiring presentation. And you really talked us through, you know, how to understand, you know, the past and current engagement of social movements with the kind of transformations of capitalism and the current crisis we are experiencing. So Donatella, thank you so much for being with us today. And as a final word, also, I would like you to subscribe to our newsletter to stay informed of future events. We will continue with the seminar series, with the seminar with Boaventura de Sousa Santos in October, and you will find more information on this soon. So thank you very much to everybody and hope to see you again soon.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrhys.org. Thank you for listening.